This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're moving on. We unpack the challenges faced by women in the sporting fraternity in various sporting codes. The South African sporting fraternity, of course, is faced with a big challenge of representation, and therefore there is also a dire need for increased visibility, greater financial backing. Let me say that again, greater financial backing and consistencies in race relations. We're joined by, of course, three people who are in the sport, three female leaders in sports, and we're going to try to unpack what's going on in women's sport already. I'm going to go to Nomsa, and I'm going to go to Hloni, and I'm going to go to Joyce. Nomsa Mahlangu, University Sports South Africa President, welcome to Power Perspective. Welcome to Power 98.7.
Thank you, and good evening to my fellow panelists.
Absolutely, and welcome to you too. Hloni Mthimkhulu, ENCA sports reporter, welcome to Power Perspective. Welcome to Power 98.7, Hloni.
Thank you. Good evening to you, to the listeners, and also to my
Thanks for skipping your broadcast there on ENCA and coming to this particular platform, Hloni. Appreciated, Hloni. Appreciated. Joyce.
Thank you for having me.
Joyce Kungwane, TLB Promotions Owner and Director. Welcome to Power Perspective. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, and good evening to the listeners. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. So I've got three. Let's then start with Nomsa. Nomsa Mahlangu, University Sports South Africa President. You sit there in that particular University Sports South Africa President, in that particular entity. So you're very much aware of the dynamics around women. Give me your broad brush about, you know, where you see women in South Africa in relation to sport, and particularly since, you know, our football team did so well when they came back and all sorts of promises were made. What's your overall view, firstly, of how we're shaping up with women in sport in this country? Whether we're bad on legislation, whether we're just bad on media coverage, whether we're just bad on all other aspects, or where we're really doing well?
Well, I think we've made strides, but we're moving very slowly.
I was waiting for the but. You know, I was waiting for the but, Nomsa.
Honest and tell it like it is.
Mm.
Fact is, women's sport in this country, I believe, is the one entity that would win World Cup for South Africa.
Mm.
And you've just spoken about the women's football team.
Mm.
And I think if any team in football would win a World Cup, it's Banyana Banyana and not Bafana Bafana.
Yeah.
And the reality is that because of the number of challenges and barriers that we face as women, not only in sport, women in corporate face the same challenges. And I think as a country, we're very good in documenting things, but bringing them to life and living them on a daily basis is a challenge. This year, South Africa is hosting the Netball World Cup, but we don't have the same vibe and hype that we had when South Africa was hosting the Football World Cup. So as a country and as a nation, we need to really start living the policies that we put on paper. Because as you say, there are good and bad things, but the bad really outweighs the good. Because all over, women are not included as much as they should be. There's issues of funding and access. And again, we need to appreciate those structures that try and level the playing field. But the reality is, society in itself has not appreciated women's sport as much as they should.
Sure. Joyce, you want to throw in your 10 cents piece right here at the beginning and just give me the lay of the land as you perceive it?
You know, coincidentally, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday when we were talking about the banyana and the promises that they were made. Mm. And I think you're going to respond to the concern that I raised to say, did they really receive the check that we saw on TV or it was just a show? Look,
You know, with the men, we'd obviously assume that they... And here's the problem with our conversation. With the men, we just assume that they got their money. With the women, we're always not sure.
Yes, that's the challenge we're having. Mm. And the fact that they had to go and win, and the country made noise. Mm. And thereafter is then that the minister came out and said... Here's a check for you, girls. Mm. You did the country well. Mm. And it's a problem that why are women not being treated like men? Mm. I mean, the lady before me, she just indicated that in 2010, there was just so much noise.
Mm.
And the noise that we're not getting right now with the netball.
Mm.
And... those are the challenges that we're facing in women in sports.
Mm.
I'll give an example from the boxing side.
Sure.
You know, when I'll give an example of Hecky Butler. When we talk of Hecky Butler, everybody gets excited.
Mm.
When we talk of Kevin Lorena, and everybody gets excited. And when we talk of Nonina, you know, you won't believe that in 2021, when I hosted the all-female boxing tournament,
mm-hmm.
people were shocked, actually, to say, do women also box? When we hosted the Celeb City One in San Siri, and most of the people, it was for the first time that they saw women fighting.
Mm.
Because those people that were waiting to see Casper, actually, they... ended up seeing a female bout, and they were asking questions to say, how do they also fight? Are they doing it in real?
Mm.
And those are the things that we're facing to say, they do not get the same publicity that the males are getting.
Mm. Let me ask you this before I go to Flonny. They didn't know that women were also boxing, or women were also engaged in a particular sport where they normally saw men. Is that because it wasn't happening before, or it's just because media coverage didn't expose it as much as they do their male counterparts?
It's a bit of both.
Mm.
Yes, because you can remember even yourself that it's not long that we started seeing females in the ring.
Mm.
Because they did not start, or the same number of female was not there as opposed to the males.
Mm.
And the exposure that the males are getting on TV, our females are not getting.
Mm. Sure. Let me go to Thloni then. Thloni, Nomsa says, Nomsa says that sports basically mirrors society. And she says, you know, in societal spaces as well, business as well, you begin to see how, you know, the differentiation between women and men. And she says, you know, sport ultimately is mirroring that particular society, and those discrepancies will play out in the equal rights, equal pay, equal opportunity, equal recognition. From where you sit, do you also view it? I've got so many media questions to ask you, but let's start there. Is that how you also kind of view it, as a broad brush, that, you know, what's happening in society in general is replicating itself in the way we view, you know, our sports?
Yeah, I think, Denzel, that's the easier question to answer, and not the issue around the media coverage. But definitely, I think if people can't see how what happens in society on a bigger scale is mirrored in these smaller or more micro situations, then, like, I think you're not looking properly, because I mean, we all experience it in our different areas, and you can definitely see, just in terms of, you know, a national team should be a national team, and how they perform as a national team, that's what the scales of whatever should be, not whether they have enough this or that, or all these things that were kind of brought up when Banyana Banyana won the Women's AFCON last year, you know. So it's definitely, you see that just, I mean, we'll talk about coverage, but just also in terms of the coverage, just in terms of the interest as well from the public, just the awareness kind of that is out there. There's definitely a long way to go. I think, obviously, women's sport does start on the back foot, you know, because historically, structurally, women weren't taking part in sport, weren't allowed to take part in sport, you know. So as Major says, you know, people are surprised that, oh, wow, women actually take part in the sport, you know, because you expect that women aren't interested in sport. So, yeah, you know, definitely just on a basic level, those sorts of structural issues around it.
Let me go to Nomsa. Nomsa, and I'll go to Thloni and Joyce with this particular question as well, but I just want to just deal with the media aspect for a while, and then we can go to all the other aspects. For me, the way media covers particular sporting events and or what they choose to cover sometimes is a reflection of that societal space. But also, it will promote and it'll give you know, credence and credit to some sports, and it won't to others. The media aspect plays a massive role in how people's, you know, minds and people's perceptions are shaped around particular sports, whether they be men and women. And so the media, ultimately, for me, is one of those determining factors as to maybe, you know, and the reason maybe, you know, why sometimes women and female sport is put on the back burner a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would partially agree with you in this sense. As much as the media is a powerful tool, it is my opinion and belief that federations themselves are not doing enough for women's sport. Because at the end of the day, the mother body is responsible in selling its own properties. Therefore, you can't sell your male properties more than you sell your female properties. And again, I would raise the issue of society and what society does. When Banyana Banyana came back from Morocco, the airport was chock-a-block. We couldn't move. A few weeks later, Banyana Banyana plays Brazil. The stadium is empty. I don't want to blame the media alone. I want to blame society, because everyone wanted to go to the airport when they returned. But a few days later, your champions are playing. You are not there. You are not showing up. So society has a responsibility. And again, as women ourselves, we have a responsibility of ensuring that we change the landscape wherever we are. Because I deliberately change the landscape within my own area of employment, where I get paid at UJ to do a job. And I can't then promote men's football over women's football. So at the end of the day, the media has a responsibility, but everyone else in the ecosystem have a responsibility.
Joyce, I'll put it to you that women, and I looked at some of the stats that are out there, women make up 40% of sports people. So that's the stats that basically is out there. Now, whether that's correct or not correct is for those analysts to be judged. But the stats say women make up 40% of the sports people. And as of 2020, only received 4% of total sports media coverage. Only 4%. And that's print and broadcasting. So my question ultimately also is, does the media inherently also, and are they also partly to blame? And I can't wait to get Thloni into this conversation. Is it also partly to blame and one of the determining factors as to why, you know, women's sport and female sport is not perceived as it should be, is not shown as it should be, is not elevated as it should be? I've got the federations, and we can talk about the federations and their role and responsibilities just now, but let me just finish the conversation about media first.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you partly, and I will say this because, you know, there's one broadcaster, I'm not going to mention them. Previously, they would not show female boxers. Where when you go to them asking for TV coverage and you put females, they would have issues. So meaning for them, the female boxers are not going to sell. So they are not a product that they can sell, actually. And I agree with you with the stats. I was reading that for 2022 global report, men reported more interest in sports than women, and approximately 83% of males responded stated that they watched or followed sports, which is less than what talks to females. So I'm saying, yes, it's improving these days. Because we are able to see our female boxers on TV, and even the print media, the radio, the females are getting exposure a bit. And I'll agree with the, I don't know whether it was Thloni, the lady that just spoke before me.
Nomsa.
When she's saying the for instance, the federations are not doing their job as well. Yes, it's true that, you know, we expect people to recognize us, but we're not going out there to tell people who we are or what is it that we're doing. It's not easy for us, again, to come out of the I don't know whether it's a closet or what, but people, most of us women, you know, we carry that that problem. We want to move around with it. We want to complain and say this is how we've been treated. Yet we don't wanna come up with solutions to say how do we want to be treated or for us to be recognized. What is it that we can do? So some challenges are with us.
Okay, get it, Thloni. The media space, and you know, Joyce was saying there when they approach a particular media house, a broadcaster, you know, they don't find women boxing maybe sexy enough, or the suggestion would be, you know, it's not going to sell, and you know, advertisers won't buy into it, and how do you perceive it where you're sitting in you know, broadcasting yourself, and the kind of issues where, you know, these women's sports are beginning to happen in let's use boxing for example, and there's men and there's women, but ultimately every time when boxing happens, you know, I hardly see a sports broadcaster talking about, you know, and women boxing, and you know, last night so and so beat so and so, and you know, what's the case with editors and editorials, or, you know, is it something that we're just not used to? Is it something that South Africans are not used to see women, you know, punching each other in the face and, you know, knocking each other out? Or what is it? Maybe it's a societal issue. Maybe it's an advertising issue.
Yeah, I think it's a societal issue. We're not used to, we're still getting used to women taking part in sport and all these sports. So what we're used to, and for South Africa, what we're used to are the Proteas, the Springboks, and Bafana Bafana. So the women's teams of those big three are like they in the back somewhere. So when you talk about coverage, when you talk about wanting to feature, you know, the women's teams of these big three, especially. Like, it's a lot of work to kind of convince people that, you know, this is worth covering. As I said earlier, like, a national team is a national team, regardless of the gender of the team, you know. it should be receiving the same sort of coverage. But I also think that maybe decision makers, and I mean, social media isn't really the biggest or the best metric for this, but when you also look at social media and what the people respond to as well, you don't ever need to tell people that Bafana Bafana has a press conference or that they're playing or that something is happening around them or like in the DStv Premiership. You don't need to tell people. People are just naturally interested in that and they'll take to that, you know. So whereas we struggle more with getting numbers for with the women's teams, with the Momentum Protest, for example, or the Springbok women, you know. So there isn't as much interest. I think it's just like a balancing out of everyone and every like different things that are just kind of, we all kind of still, you know, getting there, but we're still not quite there fully. I just want to talk about also the federations as well. There's aspects where federations do also shoot themselves in the foot in terms of how they do their things. Just when we go back to... Yeah, actually, Miraza said that only. There's just sometimes they don't help themselves either in terms of how they market and how they work with the media to get their women's teams out there. Where it's so difficult to get anything out there, to get information out there. There isn't a press release that's sent out, or it's sent out really late. I think people have to be intentional, especially about women, because not much is known and people aren't interested. So you really have to be intentional about making sure that you engage media about this team, because it's going to require a lot more work. And also, just another thing is media is so politics and current affairs focused. So there's also that awareness as well, and reading the landscape and seeing what's happening and seeing where you can take your gap. But like, there's so much, I think, education that needs to happen, so much working together that needs to happen if, you know, like there is to be a way forward in terms of how we do women's sport.
You're basically saying, because you're on the back foot already as women in sport, you need to do a little bit more. You need to understand how this animal called the media is working and be more deliberate about your more deliberate about your cause.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're not, you're just going to get swallowed up in everything else that's happening. In, you know, whatever's happening today with Spurs and it's your tourism and whatever. Like there could be some other amazing thing that's happening with the women's team. I mean, look, the Proteas women just won the tri-series against the West Indies and India. But, you know, if you're not intentional about getting...
Flonny?
There were two T20 World Cups featuring women's teams. You know, if you're not intentional about getting those out there, the Netball World Cup, if you're not intentional about making sure that you're doing something to get those out there, then they will fall through the cracks, because people don't know that these things are happening.
That's Hloni Mthimkhulu. My guest tonight is Nomsa Mahlangu, University Sports South Africa President. Hloni Mthimkhulu is ENCA sports reporter. Joyce Kungwane, of course, is TLB Promotions owner and director. Yes, so we're going to go to the news, and my guests are going to stay with us. My guests are going to stay with us and, for a conversation until past 1:30. They're going to continue the conversation after the bulletin, but we're going to the bulletin right now. And remember, we're talking really and unpacking the challenges faced by women in the sporting fraternity. It's time for the news.
You're listening to Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor. 8 p.m. to midnight.
It's 10:12. Let's go back to Nomsa Mthlangu. Nomsa, money. It was the issue when Banyana Banyana came back, and it was a big issue when Banyana Banyana came back. And I actually believe, and I think, you know, that particular victory elevated that conversation to one where we begin to think, at least, about, you know, equality along those kind of lines. If at least not in practice, we began to think about it and we began to talk about it. How do we begin to get federations to come to the table to begin to spend, firstly, the kind of money on women as they would on men? So that's in the preparation and on the field stuff. And then to pay women athletes the same kind of money. So there's two conversations there for me. There's the kind of money that goes into the development the developmental space of men and sport, and the kind of money that goes into women developmental and sport, and there's the kind of money that's then paid to individuals who really, really do well. How do we get federations, sponsors, advertisers to come to the table and begin just to, you know, talk about that, even if we're not doing it at the moment, at least just to begin to talk about it and say, you know what, it's wrong and we should be doing it, and so we can move forward. How do we do that, Nomsa?
Well, federations hold the key to everything because they are the property owners, and they have a responsibility when they sell their properties to sell them together and say, when you come and sponsor me as Federation Head, know that I have men and women teams. And whatever you give to me, I would have to give it equally, because the conversation about equality, it's a myth. We talk, we do nothing. And you just spoke about the development vis-a-vis incentives. A number of international sporting bodies, and in this instance, FIFA gives a lot of money towards the development of the game. And in the past few years, they've invested much more money in women's football. But what seems to happen, not only in South Africa, across the continent and probably globally, the money meant for women's development end up being used for other things and not what it is intended for. So I think, for me, the only way we can be able to do this is when things are legislated, but there's also some sort of watchdog, because I'm not too sure if the Portfolio Committee on Sport in this country is really helping us, because we've been having this conversation. We all welcomed Banyana Banyana, and they were given some money. Banyana Banyana, at this particular moment, are preparing for the World Cup. But how many of us really know what the path is for Banyana Banyana's development, well, preparation towards the World Cup? SAFA has not said anything. And in this instance, you can't blame the media, because SAFA is not intentional about putting it out there. Yes, a sponsor like Sasol has given so much to Banyana Banyana.
And it's been with them for so long. It's been with them for so long, too.
Exactly. They've stayed there for over a decade. And we really must commend and be thankful to what Sasol is doing. Momentum is now doing the same for the women's cricket team. And for me, the Sasol, for example, as the mother body, they need to do more themselves to say to their federations as members, these are the non-negotiables, because for me, if we're going to be investing more in men's sport and invest less in women's sport, we are not going to go anywhere as a nation, because when you look at the population of this country, there's more women than men. So why are we then not being intentional about accelerating the investment in women's sport?
Sloane, the conversation about money, Sloane, when we, you know, I was really one of those who was really excited when Banyana Banyana came back, and, you know, the department in government, Arts and Culture, gave them 5 million, and then I think they gave them another, or was it 6 million, and then they gave them another, you know, 5 million on top of that, and then of course there was the winning check from the World Cup, from the tournament, not the World Cup, from the tournament itself, and then there was all sorts of other monies that were coming in. And then I began to listen to the language that was beginning to be used by Danny Yordan. The monies from the department, for example, didn't go to the players. It went to SAFA itself. And then SAFA, when SAFA gets the money, SAFA began to tell us that, you know, there are bills to be playing. There's hotel bills, there's flight bills, there's food bills, there's coaches, there's all sorts of things. And then I began to think, well, if these, you know, young women get anything after that, you know, lofty promises, and you really think they're going to get millions of rands ultimately, but ultimately they could just get 20,000 rand at the end of it, because SAFA ultimately says it has responsibilities as well. How do we begin to, you know, understand that maybe Danny Yordani's right, SAFA has responsibilities, and the money does go all to SAFA, and then SAFA decides what the players will get, and versus the players actually getting, you know, lucrative, you know, checks themselves. What did you make of that particular space?
Yeah. That was a very interesting time, because everything happened very haphazardly. Even before the tournament, the day after the squad was announced, or like around that time, the players still didn't know if they were going to get bonuses. And so they had to have this long conversation about it. And I think, you know, and I recall that there was a lot of unhappiness from the players because there was no certainty on, are we getting paid? Are we not getting paid? So already, you know, that this tournament is happening and you know that this issue comes up all the time, but you've made no contingency for it. You know, and then, like, you make promises based on money that is to come, not on your own money. You know, so that was the other issue, that you promised them this, but it's not actually coming from you. It's coming from the money that they will win for themselves. You know, so that was just very... And then, you know, what you mentioned, that then we're being told that also we have to think about the technical team as well.
Yes.
And all these other things. So the language kept changing as the weeks were going on, and there was some defensiveness in there, you know, as time was going on. So it's very concerning. But also with the SAFA National Women's League, the Hollywood Bet Super League, the tournament ended in November, and up until the beginning of this year, the winning teams hadn't been paid. So it's like you knew that your tournament was ending on a particular date. And the reason given was that in December, we shut down on the 9th of December. So we couldn't make payments. But I mean, you knew that this was happening. So why was there no contingency made for all of that? You know, so there's just a lot of, I don't know, it's a bit, and it keeps happening. So it's almost like they're an afterthought, or they're still kind of putting the money together. So they'll wait for it. And it's just it shouldn't be happening. I think when you know that this is going to happen,
absolutely,
and when you've been here before. I mean, a few years ago, after the 2018 Women's AFCON, the players had to protest basically because they hadn't been paid their money for finishing up as runners up in Ghana. So you know, when you have situations like that, we shouldn't be having situations like that. But just before I finish, you know, so you have a situation like with cricket, for example, the players are contracted. So, you know, the men's players are contracted, and now the women's players are also contracted. That avoids these sorts of situations where you don't know how much they're getting paid, will they be getting paid, is there a bonus or whatever. So you structure it, and you become more intentional, as also in passage, you know. So that maybe needs to happen a little bit more to avoid these sorts of suspicious-looking optics, looking weird things.
Technical conversations, Thloni. Yeah. Let's go to Stembiso. Stembiso, I want to bring you in just before I go to Joyce. I'm going to bring you in because you've been holding a little bit. You've got a question to the panel here.
Yes. The question is, I mean, has the panel considered or engaged, you know, with the new thinking in feminist spaces, you know, that says, as long as we have men and women sport, sporting codes, women will always get a raw deal. So you must have sport, football, tennis, and everything else, and you know, for everybody. Because it's not about the physical abilities. You know, when you're talking football, the banyana, there are women who are fitter and stronger than, you know, men who are playing banyana. So you change the rules and you remove the gender, then women will get closer to being recognized as sporting champions.
I suppose, Stembiso, you could do it in some sports, but you know where masculinity is considered, for example, boxing, and Joyce could speak to that. You know, I would
you
see that. I would see the difference. Oh, you changed the rules, Stembiso.
You changed the rules, yeah.
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you just changed the rules.
I mean, think of the judges, you know, women voting, women being in the public space. I mean, 100 years ago, you know, people will think you have, you know, you are mad if you said women could be judges. You know, but the rules change and women are judges now, and we ought to be thinking about the same spot.
Stembe, so we changed the rules. Joyce, let me bring you in, Joyce. Respond to Stembe, so firstly, and then I have a question for you.
Okay. Stembe, so I agree with you, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. For instance, people, when they refer to me, and this is what I always fight with, even the board of BSA, when they refer me to the female promoter. And I always remind them that I'm not a female promoter, but I'm a boxing promoter. Why, when it comes to men, they don't say a male promoter, but when it comes to me, they mention me, the top female promoter. I'm like, no, if I'm a top promoter, I'm a top promoter. Don't attach gender to me. And even with the boxers, when I put out a bill and I'm applying for a tournament, I put the names because people are used to putting, when it's males, they'll just say, Thabiso Mkunu fighting versus Bani Bani. But then when it comes to the bout for females, they put the gender to say female bout. I refuse to put that. So it's also up to us, because if we accept to be attached to certain gender, then we're going to live with that forever.
Stembe so says change the rules. You were saying also change the language.
Definitely change the language. Because if I'm going to accept, then they are going to get used to that.
Joyce, give us some insight into how you would pay. And I'm assuming, you know, as a promoter, owner, and director, you would have boxes of both male and female, you know, and under your particular wing. So give us some insight as to, you know, how women are being paid there, and how men are being paid, and how you go about, you know, trying to, you know, seek the equality in that particular space. Give us some insight into the boxing space.
Personally, as TLB boss, I pay them equally. If for instance, for 10 rounds, this is what I pay to a male. I don't look at the female and say, I will pay them less because they're females, because they, well, in boxing it's different because the rounds are not the same and the minutes are per round are not the same. So, for instance, SA Tiger, for males is 12 rounds. For females, it's 10 rounds. And the males a round is 3 minutes. The females one is 2 minutes. So that's where perhaps we can say
The differentiation comes in.
Yes, yes. But under normal circumstances, it would be standard for me. If I say, okay, come and fight 6 rounds, and I pay a male 30K, then I'll pay the female the 30K.
Good on you, Joyce. Good on you. Let's go to Nomsa. Nomsa, the domestic leagues. If we had domestic leagues, and I see that particular problem as one of the key, you know, problems also in this, you know, in this particular regard, cricket, rugby, football, for example, in South Africa, I've yet to consider establishing these domestic leagues, unlike, you know, the UK and Australia. In India, I see now is creating a domestic league with cricket. You know, the creation of domestic leagues for, you know, for women around these particular sporting codes, do you think it would help? And how do we go about it? And how, you know, shouldn't we be thinking about that in our conversations?
Well, it is critical and important to have as much competition as you can, because at the end of the day, for the sport to grow and to be sustainable, your people must be exposed to the sport at domestic level. And it is the only way that society will warm up and understand the game, as opposed to a situation where they only get exposed when your top-level teams are playing. Because grassroots development, which is part of the domestic league, is very important in growing and sustaining any sport. It's also critical for, again, I'll go to federations because they are the custodians of the sport. It is important for them to start doing more and being intentional about where and when these games are played. Because partly there's an issue of exclusion in the sense that when matches are played at the time when society expects me to be taking care of my kids at home, I'm not going to be able to make it. And until such time that we start transforming the way we think and the way we do things, we will still be facing these challenges a few years down the line.
Sloane, we're at the end of the conversation. Your closing remarks, Sloane, on how we advance women and sport and how we get the media to cover it a little more and how we get federations to, you know, begin to see women more. And then, you know, also the issue of domestic leagues, key sometimes, because, you know, if you're playing and people are watching and domestic leagues would begin to promote coverage as well, that just elevates, you know, various sporting codes. So your closing remarks, Sloane, on where we should be going?
Yeah, so I think everyone, I think what Nonto has been saying is that there should be more of being intentional wherever different people are in terms of doing what they need to do. So the media as well must recognize that there's more than just, for example, the Protea Springboks and Bafana Bafana. There are other teams out there, the federations as well, just they working with the media and working to get their their sport out there, and just the public as well. You know, times have changed. There are women that are taking part in sports. So I think we all need to, in our little corner, sponsors, the whole ecosystem does need to be more intentional about what it does, instead of just talking about it. The leagues are very important, but it's also the type of league that you have that also makes a difference.
Sure. Joyce, your closing remarks. Joyce, you're seeing some green shoots, positive about what's going on. Some people like you are making a difference. You know, you're obviously changing the language. You're already doing what Stembiso says. You're changing, you know, the game a little bit and changing the rules also. So there are people within that particular space. I was looking at coaches, and there's more women coaches and female coaches in the game, so much more than we used to have, and in the promotion sector, like people like yourself. So, you know, are we in a good space, and how far are we from actually doing better? You know, where are we? Are we 3 out of 10? Are we 5 out of 10? Are we 7 out of 10?
Look, this is what I want to say, Danson. We want to see more of women getting involved in sport at all levels, from the field of play to the boardroom. But greater involvement from the media is also needed, along with more companies backing and sponsoring women in sports, because that's one challenge that we're having in sports. And, out of 10, I'll say we're still at 3. Until I see, I'm going to use the word so that we can understand where I'm going to. Until I see female boxers driving cars that are written whatever company as a sponsor. Until I see our women owning the things that our males are owning as sponsors. And again, Denzel, I forgot to say this before at the beginning of our interview, that today is my late brother's birthday, and heavenly birthday to Sheikh Skungwane.
Ah, well, yes. Well, happy birthday to him too. Tell us a little bit about him. Why you remember him specifically on this day, apart from just being a brother?
It is his birthday. He was born on the 2nd of February.
And obviously you miss him for that to have been brought up like the way you did bring it up.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, Joyce, with you too in remembering your brother, 2nd of February. Thank you so much for sharing that with us as well. So, Joyce Kungwane, thank you for coming on board and the conversation. And, you know, good luck and continue that journey that you're already doing in bringing parity and equality in your space. I mean, it's a struggle within boxing. And like you say, until you see actually those vehicles which are branded and sponsored by big companies, then that's when you know it's changed. Joyce Kungwane, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and extend my gratitude to ENCA. They're always there to support me when I'm having events.
Joyce, okay, I'm going to... Sloane, you heard that?
I did. That is my colleague, Tepo, who's always there covering the boxing for TLV.
Sloane,
I will pass that on.
Sloane, and your closing remarks, Sloane?
Yeah, I think we need to do better.
Mm. Let's leave it at that, Sloane. Sloane, thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Nomsa Mthlangu, University Sports, thank you so, so much. Let me ask you, Nomsa, out of 10, give me a quick answer as to where you would rate us. We were rated by Joyce as 3. Where would you rate us, Nomsa, in this particular scenario where women are concerned and versus male sport?
I would agree with Joyce. Mm. We are definitely at a 3, but I believe that we can do more by educating, empowering, and uplifting each other.
Nomsa Mthlangu, thank you so much for coming to Power Perspective tonight.
Thank you for having me, and it was indeed a lovely conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Nomsa Mthlangu, University Sports, Sports South Africa president, joining us there. And that's how the ladies view their sport. That's how the ladies view finances. That's how the ladies view that whole issue of gender equality, equal rights, equal pay, equal opportunity, equal recognition. But of course, the point being made here is that sport mirroring society, and that's the discrepancy in equal pay. And when it mirrors what's going on in society, it obviously has the same views and looks exactly the same when it's played on the field.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.